Similar to a well-tuned automobile, a guitar requires the same level of attention to perform at its very best. No matter how expensive your guitar may be, we will treat you and your instrument with the utmost respect. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson, we love guitars.
And welcome to another podcast at slysoffice.com, brought to you by our friends at the Operating Engineers, Local 139, Madison Teachers Incorporated, Madison Teamsters, and Madison Firefighters. Joining us now, Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, of course, Lot. Thanks for having me. You got to forgive my voice. Got a little cold going on here, so hope everybody can hear me clearly.
Did you? Well, you sound just fine. So, did you have a good time on Labor Day? Happy Labor Day, by the way.
Happy Labor Day to you. I had a great time as always on Labor Day, and you know, it's funny when I walk around now. People say, "Oh, thanks for coming." It's like, I don't think I've missed a Labor Day or a Labor Fest since I've been back in the last 10 years. So. It's good to be there in that capacity, and it's good to be there in this position, because for too long, we had a leadership at the top who not just ignored labor, but wanted to bring labor to his knees. So there's a real partnership now, and I'm ready to get to work. And, you know, it's a really great feeling when you show up, and, you know, people say, do you get tired of taking pictures? Do you get tired of saying hey to everybody? That's it. And sometimes, yeah, but this is my crowd. This is where I want to be. These are my people, and this is how we move the state forward.
You were raised in a labor family.
Yep. This is true. Both my parents were at Labor Fest, as per usual.
Well, I don't know if you saw the story in the Capital Times. You know, Wisconsin took the biggest hit among any state when it comes to the drop in people belonging to labor unions. That didn't happen by accident. So I thought maybe our launching pad here to talk a little bit about what the administration wants to do as far as trying to get people good jobs in light of everything else that the Walker administration unfortunately left you with. And I don't just mean in Madison and Milwaukee, but I mean around the whole state.
Yeah, and that was the thing. The Walker administration was very intentional about trying to destroy organized labor. We are very intentional about making sure that people have a voice. That working people have a voice, are able to collectively bargain, are able to receive the wages that are due for the work that they perform. And, you know, you look at the decline in union membership in the state, and it's directly correlated and tied to the decline in the middle class here in Wisconsin. Wages having grown up, and that's for a reason, which is another intentional effort when you put even increase in the minimum wage in the budget, and Republicans, They scoffed at it as if that is not the single best way to start to make sure that we can make our economy in Wisconsin recession-proof. I mean, the fears of the recession are very real. There's a very real chance that we're going into recession, and working people are going to get hit the hardest, as working people have always been hit the hardest.
You know, it's when you see states like Arkansas that are very right-wing raising the minimum wage at least a little, and you don't see any change in Wisconsin, you really kind of have to shake your head.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is the Republican leadership in this state. There's not a Midwestern nice thing about it.
No!
This is some of the most extreme conservatism across the entire country, and they've been emboldened, and we know that that's because of the rigged mass that they get to operate under.
All right, so for a very long time, you know, I hate to see the divide in Wisconsin between upstate and downstate, because some of the same problems that exist as far as finding a good job on the north side of Milwaukee exist in places like Rhinelander and Medford. You know, same issues. People have the same bread and butter issues. Is there anything that you can do to sort of overcome that?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, we are dealing with the same set of issues, and I always talk about that in my speeches. It's one of my laugh lines where I say, you know, when people ask what I talk about up north, and it's the same thing that people talk about in Milwaukee. It's the same thing in Wausau. It's the same thing in Bayfield. It's the same thing in Viroqua. And, you know, I think is key for us going into 2020. A candidate that recognizes those issues, a candidate that can speak to those issues, because that's how you have the broad appeal necessary to make sure that we send Donald Trump home.
Is there anything that you can do in the meantime while we're in the, you know, stuck in the Trump administration and stuck with this Republican legislature, that we can focus on some tools that people can have, especially up north, when it comes to high-speed internet or some of the other vocational tools to get the training or have the infrastructure to work?
Well, yeah, absolutely. So even with high-speed internet, that's one thing where, you know, what we put in the budget is not what came out in the final budget. People are in need of real relief, and, you know, they're tired of Republicans saying no at every turn, even if it's something that ends up saving the state money, like Medicaid expansion. But with that being said, in this time that we have, the next 14 months, we have to organize. We have to continue to show up in communities. And, you know, I've been traveling the state a whole lot, making sure that I get around to as many places as possible and connecting and, you know, listening to the concerns of as many people as possible from as many different backgrounds as possible. We're going business, talking with business leaders, you know, people who run health centers, farmers, teachers, students, you name it. And, you know, our goal in that regard is to make sure that they know that this administration is one that's going to continue to fight for them, because too often people have enemies confused. They don't know who's the person or why. They don't understand why marijuana is not legal, why the minimum wage hasn't been increased, why all employees in the state of Wisconsin don't have collective bargaining rights. You know, you see those kind of comments all the time. They're like, what are you going to do about it? And I, you know, you have to remind people, everybody's not as plugged in. So I have to remind people that, you know, this is, you know, from the very start, from our state budget, these are the provisions that we put in there. This is how we have been fighting for people all across the state of Wisconsin. The only thing that is in the way of us becoming a state that is more just, more fair, more equitable is the legislative leadership, or the Republican legislative leadership, I should say.
One thing, yeah, we forget that's really happened over the last 20 years is with the disappearance of local newspapers and a lot of local radio news teams being gone because of things being syndicated and everything. A lot of people don't get information that they used to.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And so, like, with newspaper rooms shrinking, and another part, too, is consolidation. People are, you know, these news outlets are running on a very unified platform or agenda across the entire country now. There's literally only a handful of voices across the entire country for every community, as diverse as our communities are across the country. There are a handful of entities that are operating our media, news media, in the states, and that's a scary thing too, because you have people who are competing for resources. You have people who are also, you know, in a pinch, in a crunch, because when these mergers happen, people lose jobs, and that's a very real fear. And, you know, a lot of times people get real desperate, and as it's not good for the profession, it's not good for democracy, it's not good for a civilized society that doesn't have you know, the right to get their news reported to them by truly local outlets to understand the issues instead of some, you know, cookie cutter way of sharing the news, of sharing information.
When you travel the state, do people show up that are Republicans, or is it just like-minded people that show up at the events that you come to? A lot of Walker's events, he traveled the state, but they were closed to the public. You and the governor are a little more open about traveling the state, and that you let everyone in. Do Republicans show up?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's I will say it is my assumption they show up. You know, because with it being open, we don't walk around and say, raise your hand if you're a Republican, raise your hand if you're a Democrat. You know, we assume people as Wisconsinites, and that's how we handle conversations with them.
You can probably tell, though, by some of the questions that people ask, right?
Yeah, I mean, of course, like some questions will come across a little different, or there's a different tone. But, you know, treat everybody the same. Show up to our public event.
How frustrating is it to you that the Republicans simply did not listen to any reasoning on the expansion of Medicaid when other states where there's Republican-controlled legislatures found a way to get that done, including a state like Kentucky?
is very frustrating because it makes people lose faith in the process. You look at the overwhelming percentage of people in Wisconsin that support Medicaid expansion, and to just flat out say no to a measure that would have saved the state money and would have helped us become a more healthy state, saving even more money in the long run, for them to just say no with such callousness is very disheartening for, you know, for me personally, because this is the right thing to do for families, for people across the state, for individuals. But they just said no. And it's not like they said no to the governor. It's not like they said no to me. They said no to 82,000 people. They said no to 5.7 million people across the state, because all 5.7 million people across the state, because any individual's health impacts everyone around them.
When you travel the state, what do people tell you about their health care?
People say that there are very real problems, whether it's long wait lines at a doctor's office, at a health center, or having to travel far. You know, access to mental health is something. Mental health care is something that comes up all the time. And there's an instance where the woman that we talked to tried to get treatment for her son, and they said that he was not suicidal enough. Heard recently, but you always hear stories about people who, you know, could have potentially gotten care somewhere, but the provider that was available was out of network, so the insurance company wouldn't pay for it. Simple things like that, which is another reason we should be fighting towards a more universal system of health care.
So in rural areas in the state, do we have a shortage of clinics and doctors?
Oh, of course. And then there's a nursing shortage as well, too. They have some really good schools that are stepping up to try to fill those gaps, but a lot of these programs are operating at capacity. So there is a health care shortage in Wisconsin.
I shouldn't just say rural areas. Obviously, Milwaukee has battled the potential of Aurora, Sinai maybe closing at times, and, you know, that being a very tenuous situation. So there's a shortage of health care in a lot of places.
Well, yeah, and that's when you get to the crossroads of accessibility and affordability, where, you know, in areas where it may be more accessible for people, like in Milwaukee, a more metropolitan area, where it may be easier for a person to get to a doctor, but the affordability is the question. Then in other parts of the state that are more spread out, you see where, there are people who can afford it, but the accessibility is a problem. They aren't always able to get to appointments in a timely manner.
We'll take a quick break. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes with us at SlysOffice.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date, whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SlysOffice.com. Welcome back to SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at Madison Computer Works and Jeff's Guitar Clinic. I want to ask you a little bit about what's going on with legislation to do universal background checks in Wisconsin. You know, and I'm sure I've frustrated you over the years, I'm pretty pro Second Amendment for a Democrat. On the other hand, mm-hmm. I'm also for reasonable common sense gun legislation. And while I've always opposed banning semi-automatic long rifles, I'm beginning to think maybe I should reconsider that position, at least to some degree, where you make it much more difficult to get them and maybe license them or keep them at gun ranges. Because what we have now is an on-all assault on the American people. I just am shocked at what has transpired over the last couple of years. When the governor introduced the notion of universal background checks, and it was summarily dismissed by the legislature, did that surprise you?
No, it didn't surprise me because they haven't changed. And
background checks.
It's definitely background checks. You know, Medicaid expansion, the same thing. And that's scary. You see, you know, that's a legislature that moves under the guidance of a puppet master.
And that would be the National Rifle Association.
That would be the entire thing, because you know they aren't the only players.
Right. So that didn't surprise you. Have you ever had anyone come up to you and say, yeah, I think universal background checks are a bad idea? Has anyone, like I'm just a regular person, I don't mean Robin Voss or Scott Fitzgerald.
Not a single person. And the level of it's so disingenuous because, you know, they'll say, well, we got to figure out how to stop this. And we know what we can do to at least help, you know, prevent some of this. You know, like I said, has always been said, not even by me, but, you know, any casual observer, if there was a different hue to the majority of these shooters, we see action right away.
Well, it is a perplexing thing to have a group of people that are so intransigent on so many issues. Senator go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to say, where is the limit then? What is proper to own as far as arms, and what is not? What is improper? Right? You can't just go out and buy a missile. it's an arm. What? If if people want to stick that close if people say they want to stick that close to the Constitution, what will prevent any American who can afford it from just going to buy a missile?
Well, you know, the Heller decision that codified the Second Amendment as applying to an individual specifically said it did not preclude banning certain type of weapons if they were seen to be too dangerous to the public. So there is no Second Amendment argument to put greater restrictions on certain types of firearms. And there certainly was nothing in the Heller decision that said you couldn't have universal background checks. They don't have a constitutional argument.
Right, and when the Second Amendment was written, firearms were much different back then, and the world was much different back then. People, you know, you gotta think about the time. How many people who were signers of the document were slave owners, right? We're talking about an entirely different world.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is even the most recent decision from 10 years ago that people disagreed with, that decision did not mean that firearms could not be regulated. That's today.
Right.
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 So I don't really see what I don't see what they're hanging their hat on here other than the mass sale of guns. And evidently that is their only concern here, is that gun sales stay up. And evidently at the cost to people's freedom, there's something wrong. There is something seriously wrong there. When you when you took office, you said one of the things you wanted to tackle was dealing with climate change. What's going on with your efforts in that area?
I'm excited that I get the chance to take on climate change now. So in the budget, we tried to create our Office of Clean Energy and Sustainability. Surprise, surprise, got taken out of the budget. However, through executive order, that office is now been created. We're getting ready to staff up the office, and that's going to be the agency that leads our efforts to combat climate change, to get us to our 100% carbon-free goal, to make sure that cities, towns, villages, counties are resourced to help them in achieving their goals. There are a lot of cities across the state that have signed on to some version of Paris Climate Accord. And with those municipalities, with those local government entities, that is where we have the most opportunity to make something happen, in lieu of a willing legislature that obviously wants to ignore the impacts of climate change and ignore its impact on low-income communities, communities of color, rural communities. Everybody across the state is feeling it. And it's another issue area where our Republican-led legislature is ignoring the will and safety of people. So with that being said, this agency tasked with coming up with the plan that will get us to 100% carbon free That also means making sure that we're creating opportunities and bringing the most impacted voices to the table, and also creating good paying jobs in the process, or creating the opportunity for good paying jobs in the process. We have so much potential right now because our renewable energy portfolio hasn't changed in about 8 years, it hasn't increased in about 8 years. No significant increase, I should say. So that leads us to an opportunity for job creators, for entrepreneurs, for some really smart people who live in this state to help come up with some solutions and put people to work. I mean, this is where job growth is happening in the renewable energy sector. We've been missing out for a really long time. It's time for us to embrace the science and embrace the opportunities that are in front of us.
So I said to Chris Larson, who we had on last week, I said, when you take the totality of these issues, these Republicans kind of, do they think it's 1956?
I don't think it's 1856.
Well, I think you get the line of the morning there. Finally, let me just ask you the role of the lieutenant governor and what you walked into. Is it what you expected, and are you reshaping the office?
Oh, it's more than I expected, for better and for worse. It is more than I expected, but I certainly appreciate it. And we are trying to make the role, at least while I'm here, one of some significance. And, you know, got a good relationship with the governor, and that helps. That certainly helps, my time in this office.
Yeah, because there are many times where the lieutenant governor and the governor have not been close, to put it mildly.
Well, to put in my helis, or where governors have intentionally just wanted their lieutenants to stay away for whatever reason, be it some fear of being overshadowed, or be it just differences in opinion and egos.
Did you know Tony Evers at all when you won the nomination to become lieutenant governor, and he won the nomination to become governor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was on the education committee when I was in the assembly, so my office had a chance to work with his a little bit.
And you hit it off.
I'm just saying a few words. It was not a difficult process by any means.
Well, that seems quite apparent. I don't think in my years, and I've been following politics a long time, that I've seen a lieutenant governor and a governor work so closely. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go because I know you've got a voice to heal and you've got a lot to do. But I appreciate you coming on, and we'll carry this dialogue on and have you keep us up to date on what's going on. Keep doing the Lord's work out there.
All right. Thanks, Glenn. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes here at SliceOffice.com.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.